Have you ever noticed how our culture's obsession with self-love coincides with skyrocketing rates of anxiety and depression? It's a striking contradiction. While Lizzo's anthems of self-empowerment top the charts and Instagram feeds overflow with "you are enough" affirmations, many of us feel more inadequate than ever. This paradox forms the heart of "You're Not Enough and That's Okay," where the central insight challenges everything modern self-help preaches. The more we focus on ourselves, the more miserable we become. What if the path to fulfillment isn't found in looking inward, but in acknowledging our limitations? What if our cultural obsession with self-sufficiency is precisely what's keeping us stuck? I once sat in a counselor's office hearing shocking words: "You're going to die. This is going to kill you." What began as innocent calorie restriction after a breakup had evolved into binging and purging. The behavior I thought I controlled had become an addiction affecting every aspect of my life. Self-love is inherently unsatisfying because it depends on our fluctuating feelings, which change based on circumstances, performance, and others' opinions. Consider Cecily's story. Abandoned by her mother young, she was haunted by the question, "Why am I not enough for her?" When Cecily became a mother, she was determined to be everything her children needed. But with a colicky baby and a second child just a year later, she found herself overwhelmed. Following advice from mom influencers, she tried self-care, shopping, working out, dinners with friends, but these temporary fixes proved unreliable. After locking her keys and baby in the car one day, she broke down completely, even contemplating suicide. It was only when Cecily embraced her not-enoughness and turned to something bigger than herself that she found peace. She realized she would never have what it took to be everything her family needed, and that was actually okay. The cult of self-affirmation has developed its own vocabulary with phrases like "speak your truth," "set boundaries," and "protect your energy" as modern mantras. This movement elevates self as God, doing you as righteousness, and following your heart as salvation. This mindset permeates mommy media, making mothers feel entitled to breaks while subtly framing motherhood as a burden rather than a blessing. While mothers do need breaks, viewing parenting as something that happened to you misses its true nature as a gift. The movement has even infiltrated religious spaces, replacing teachings about sacrifice with messages of self-fulfillment. Unlike the cult's warning about losing yourself to motherhood, true joy comes from seeing everyday parenting moments as opportunities for growth. Rest isn't wrong. God designed us to need it, but our mentality matters. When rest enables better service to others, it becomes sustainable caregiving rather than self-indulgence. As a child, I believed my dental sealants contained invisible Backstreet Boys stickers, a comforting lie my hygienist told to calm my fears. This connects to other childhood disappointments when reality didn't match expectations, like thinking side bangs would attract boys or that removing braces would boost my popularity. These examples show how we all believe things that fail to deliver promised fulfillment. Modern culture encourages us to embrace what's true for us, even when it contradicts objective reality. Consider Chloe's story, a college rape survivor who turned to substances to cope. After rehab and committing to sobriety, she became captivated by friends' Instagram travel posts. She spent her savings on a one-way ticket to find herself. What appeared inspiring on social media led to casual hookups, pregnancy, and returning home alone. Her pursuit of her truth only created more problems. Without objective standards beyond ourselves, we become our own gods, creating chaos. True healing begins only when we submit to something greater than our feelings. The problem with hipster Jesus Christianity is its denial of biblical authority in favor of personal truth, self-worship disguised as genuine faith that focuses on what we think we deserve rather than something transcendent. The third myth of self-love culture claims we're perfect just as we are, creating what I call the paradox of perfectionism, being told we're perfect while simultaneously being sold products and programs to help us realize that perfection. Popular self-help messaging exemplified by books like You Are a Badass blames external forces, society, capitalism, patriarchy, for repressing our true perfect self, while selling the idea that self-discovery leads to self-acceptance. I also challenge the notion that all feelings are valid. While feelings are real, they aren't necessarily legitimate or based in truth. I've experienced many emotions, from teenage resentment toward my parents over curfews to jealousy of others' accomplishments that had no basis in reality. What about feelings of worthlessness despite weight loss, anxiety over exams, attachment to abusive partners? These feelings may be real, but they're not valid because they're not grounded in truth. Our hearts can be deceitful. Unlike self-love culture that tells us to trust our feelings unconditionally, wisdom teaches us to subject our emotions to truth. During my pregnancy, I gained 60 pounds, far beyond the recommended 25. I wasn't self-conscious until cruel Facebook comments called me freaking fat, which devastated me. I could have sought refuge in body-positive messages claiming I'm perfect regardless of size. But having overcome an eating disorder in college, I knew superficial affirmation offers limited relief. Instead, I focused on deeper truths, my body's miraculous ability to carry a child. The body positivity movement, while representing diverse body types in media, falls short with its "you're perfect as you are" message. Consider Angelica. After losing her father at 8, she sought validation through men's attention. Despite achieving her thinnest body through keto and dating frequently, she drank heavily every night, still feeling empty inside. Society prescribes more self-love through positive thoughts and affirmations. But what happens when self-love runs out? When we still dislike what we see or have done something shameful? True confidence comes from understanding our bodies as gifts, requiring stewardship, not worship. Confidence grounded in something beyond ourselves, unlike that derived from others' opinions, is permanent and real. My most miserable seasons have been defined by self-centeredness, while peace came when I removed myself from the center. Whether serving people with special needs at Camp Barnabas, in my quick engagement and marriage to Timothy, or through late-night motherhood moments, I've discovered that joy comes through self-forgetfulness rather than self-focus. Making ourselves the center of our universe creates confusion. It falsely convinces us of our enoughness, tells us we determine our own truth while leaving us morally adrift, and pushes us toward unattainable perfection that breeds bitterness when dreams don't materialize. The path to freedom isn't found in self-love, but in self-forgetfulness, thinking of ourselves less rather than thinking less of ourselves. Instead of exhausting self-esteem dependent on fluctuating factors like job performance or weight, we can find purpose beyond ourselves and discover the enoughness we've been seeking all along.